just see insanity in the society around us. There is human art because it is evil, because it is sinful, needs authority over it in order to control it and keep it in check so that people do not just steal and murder and drive 100 miles an hour down the highway, hitting each other and killing each other because of that. So, there are a lot of questions that might come out of this passage. I will not be able to answer all of those questions in this sermon. I only have 30 or 40 minutes. But I am available to all of you, whether it be in person after the service, or whether it be by phone or email. You can always ask me whatever questions you have, whatever implications you'd like to draw from this passage, such as, what does it mean for the American Revolution? For instance, if God placed the English government over the American colonies, does this mean that the American Revolution was wrong? That is a question you might ask. I will not be able to answer that in this sermon, but if you'd like to talk about it, please ask me. Or, what do the Russians do in the current crisis? If they disagree with the government, with Putin, what he is doing when he is making war on the country, Ukraine, yes. Thank you. Yes, he's making war on Ukraine, and what do the Russian citizens do, especially if they are Christians? How do they react to this? How do they speak up about what is going wrong in their country? Well, this passage addresses that. As Christians, there are ways that we could act and should act according to what the passage speaks about. You can ask that question, you can come to me, and I'd be happy to talk about that. That will not be covered in this sermon, but the basic idea of what we are to do is covered in this passage, and how we are to live as Christians in our country is very clear. So let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, thank you so much for placing government over us, Father. Even though the government during the time that this letter was written, the time when Paul wrote this letter, the government of Rome, the government of the Roman Empire, was corrupt in many ways. Father, even though it was corrupt, Paul still called everyone, including Christians, especially Christians, to obey the government and to pay taxes. We know that if there is something that you call us to do in your word, that you command us to do, that the government asks us not to do, Father, then we are to obey you, Father, as we see in the book of Daniel, Father, when Daniel himself was called to worship and pray to you, even when he was told not to, Father. But we do know that it is your command that we obey the government, and unless there is some reason in the Word of God that we are not to obey it, we are to always obey the law, even when it is difficult, even when it is inconvenient. Father, help us to learn from this passage how we are to follow you and obey you by submitting to the governing authorities. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 13:1 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Every person should be subject to the government. Thus, every believer in Christ, especially, should be a model of obedience to the laws set forth by the government. This is not just a standard of righteousness to be obeyed under the eye of God. This obedience to the law is a matter of Christian witness. We must notice that obedience to the law is not just to a king or a president, but to all governing authorities. Christian to be subject to every legal authority at every level of government, whether it be a police officer, or whether it be the Congress, or whether it be a governor, or whether it be a president, or a king, or even a dictator. Christians are called to obey every level of government that is set over them by God. Are there exceptions to this command to obey authority? As I said in my prayer, when the Word of God commands us to do something differently than the state or the government or the authority do, we're always to obey God. God is our ultimate authority. But as this passage teaches, God is the one who placed the governing authority over us. He sovereignly determines who our governing authorities would be. So unless there's a direct command in Scripture that conflicts with what they ask us to do through the law, then we are to obey and submit to the government. Point number one, Christians especially should be examples of obedience to the government's authority and the laws that it upholds. Point number one, Christians especially should be examples of obedience to the government's authority, and the laws that it upholds. We should be examples to the other citizens who are also called to obey the government. We should be examples to them of obedience to the government's authority. We are to be peaceful and loving and love our neighbor. And one way that we can love our neighbor is by obeying the law. The laws are set there, for the most part, to help us love our neighbor and not sin against our neighbor. That is the purpose of these laws. You see this in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 17. And this scripture is on the back of your note sheet if you're interested in looking at it. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. When Peter wrote this short passage, he was writing to an oppressed community. The community was even being oppressed because of the actions of the emperor that was over them. They were being persecuted and even killed at times because of the actions of the emperor. Yet still he called them to be subject to the emperor as supreme. He says, honor the emperor. He says it right after he says, fear God. Because even though there was corruption in the government, the Christian was called then and is called now to be subject or submit to the government's authority, because God has placed that government over them. Paul then goes on in Romans to give us a series of reasons why God commands that every person submit themselves unto the authority or law of human government. been instituted by God. Point number two. The first reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that all governments have been instituted by God. Point number two. The first reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that all governments have been instituted by God. When Paul wrote this letter to the Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the government that God had instituted, the Roman government, was very corrupt and even participated in the persecution of Christians. This was the same government that Jesus lived under when he lived his life in first century Israel. Even Jesus, God himself in human flesh, submitted to the authority of the ruler. It was by the authority of the governor Pontius Pilate that Jesus went to the cross. John 19, verses 10 and 11 says, "So Pilate said to him, 'You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and authority to crucify you?' Jesus answered him, 'You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above.'" Jesus himself submitted to the authority of Pilate and even acknowledged that this authority had been given to him by God. Even Pilate's authority to either release Jesus or crucify him came directly from God. You see, Jesus went to the cross, and he died on the cross to take the punishment that we all deserve, taking the eternal hell that we deserve because we are sinners, because we have broken God's law, upon himself, taking that eternal hell, so that all who would repent of their sins and trust in him might not have to take that punishment themselves, just by believing in Jesus. And when he went there to that cross, he went by the authority of the government. And he submitted to that authority, just as he submitted to his Father in going to that cross and taking the wrath of his Father in our place, if we just trust him. Romans 13, verse 2 goes on, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Point number three. The second reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that anyone who resists the government by breaking the law is resisting God himself and what he has appointed. Those who resist fall rightfully under the judgment of God. Point number three. The second reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that anyone who resists the government by breaking the law is resisting God himself and what he has appointed. Those who resist fall rightfully under the judgment of God. God commands that all people submit to the government that he has instituted, and those who resist his appointment will incur his judgment. It is not the details of each law that the government makes that determine whether the government is a rightful appointment of God. Some of these laws might be unrighteous. Some of these laws might be outright wrong or hurt people. Instead, the scripture teaches that all authorities have been appointed by God, even though all Israel, recorded in the Old Testament, failed many times to avoid corruption. Yet, God had appointed the unrighteous authorities as well as the righteous. Romans 13, verses 3 and 4 goes on. The rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. Verse point number 4. The third reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that we should seek the approval of those in authority over us because they are a servant of God working for our good. Point number 4. The third reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that we should seek the approval of those in authority because they are a servant of God working for our good. Even though not everything that the government does is in obedience to God, there are many things they do that are not, the government's overarching purpose, according to Scripture, is to serve the moral purposes of God and promote good conduct. Thus, if we have the authority's approval, we have the approval of God. Titus 3, verses 1 through 3, shows us this truth. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. We can see in this third verse of Titus 3, this is what we become when we have no governmental authority. This is the anarchy that the society falls into without an authority over them. Foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Of course, as Christians, we have risen above these things. We are no longer defined by these things because of the work of the Holy Spirit. But the society in general depends on the governmental authority placed there by God to promote the good so that our society does not fall into this chaos of people hating each other and acting against each other in evil. Romans 13, verse 4 goes on. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he, meaning the governmental authority, does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Point number 5. The fourth reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that the authorities have physical means of enforcing the laws that they are provided with by God Himself to carry out His wrath on those who do wrong. Point number 5. The fourth reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is that the authorities have physical means of enforcing the laws that they are provided by God Himself to carry out His wrath on those who do wrong. So the physical means that the government is given to enforce the law, the police force, the military, jail, and other means of enforcing the law are given by God so that the government can punish those who break the law and ultimately stand against God's appointed government. Now, of course, this passage does have something to say about how the government should use these means to enforce the morality of God Himself. They are not to use these means to oppress people and to hurt people and to jail people who are doing good. But even if they do use some of these means to do these things, to oppress others, they are still called to prevent murder and theft and other evil things that people would do without the restraint of the government. And it is God's wrath that the government carries out on those who break the law. Romans 13, verse 5 goes on. Therefore, one must be in subjection to the government, of course, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Point number 6. The fifth and final reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is for the sake of our conscience before God. Point number 6. The fifth and final reason that Paul gives us that we must submit ourselves to the government's authority is for the sake of our conscience before God. We will have a clear conscience that we have done what is right before God if we obey the laws that the government places over us. It doesn't matter whether this government is a democracy or not. It could be a monarchy. It could be a dictatorship. It could be communism. God still has placed this government over us, and we will have a clear conscience before God if we obey the laws that they have placed over us. The laws that are there are designed, for the most part, to punish the evildoers and promote a basic morality that reflects the more excellent and more glorious law of God. The more excellent and more glorious law of God. That is what the law is meant to reflect. And so much that we can participate in the governmental process, we should seek to have laws which reflect the more excellent and more glorious law of God that we find in His Word. That is the reason that government is there, to reflect God's righteousness. Of course, it doesn't always live up to that, and because of that, we still need to subject ourselves to it, because this is what God commands us to do as Christians. Romans 13, verse 6 says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing." Point number 7. Paul also gives us the reason why we pay taxes. The government is appointed by God for the good of its people. God designs government itself for a good purpose. This is why we pay taxes, for God's good purpose. Point number 7. Paul also gives us the reason why we pay taxes. The government is appointed by God for the good of its people. God designed government itself for a good purpose. This is why we pay taxes, for God's good purpose. Our taxes are not paid to support the purposes of a human cause, but that the original recipients of this letter, the Romans in the first century, that they paid, even though some of these taxes might have gone to things that they disagreed with, and some of our taxes go to things that we disagree with, the overall purpose of those taxes was for the common good as designated by God Himself. So, Paul commands us in Romans 13:7, not just are we supposed to submit to the laws of the government, we are also to pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes were owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Point number 8. So, based on all these reasons that we've given, God commands all Christians to pay everything they owe, whether taxes to the government or respect and honor to the authority. Point number 8. So, based on all these reasons given, God commands all Christians to pay everything they owe, whether taxes to the government or respect and honor to the authority. Even Jesus paid taxes because he acknowledged that the taxes belonged to the authority. Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22, shows us Jesus paying his taxes. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, aware that they were trying to trap him, shows us, he gives us an example. He shows us what we are to do. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription are this?" Pointing to the coin, Jesus said, "Whose inscription is on it?" They said, "Caesar." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. Jesus said this not to say that the money itself, with Caesar's inscription on it, did not belong to God, because we know from the Scripture, from the Word of God, that everything belongs to God. But under the order which God had appointed, the money for the tax, which is what they were asking for, was meant to be rendered back unto Caesar. Was meant to be given back to the government, because that is where the taxes rightfully were meant to be. So Jesus paid his tax, because this is what God demanded in his righteousness, and Jesus never sinned. Jesus was always righteous. Application. Point number 1. Obey and submit yourselves as Christians, the people of God, to the laws of the land. Application point number 1. Obey and submit yourselves as Christians, the people of God, to the laws of the land. You can do this in significant ways, such as not stealing and not murder, which most of you do not steal and murder. But we must not neglect to obey the law in even more minor ways, such as getting proper permits and following the traffic law, including the speed limit. Yeah, I know it's a pain. But it is the reality. If an authority for the government could rightfully find you in violation of a law, to the letter of the law, you are not simply disobeying the state, but you are sinning against God. Any law, unless that law contradicts something that God commands you in His Word, and most of the laws do not, that if we break that law in any way, even just a little bit, then we are sinning against God. It's very important that we understand that this is what this text is teaching. Application point number two. Honestly and legally pay all the taxes that are due to the government. Point number two. Application point number two. Honestly and legally pay all the taxes that are due to the government. All of them. And tax, many of you are about to pay your taxes. And we can see how this plays out, that we are never to take shortcuts when we are paying our taxes. If someone is preparing our taxes for us, we have to make sure that we choose someone who is morally upright to do so, and to let them know that you want them to do everything according to the letter of the law. You don't want to cheat on any exemptions, on any money that you owe, on anything that you pay. And this can even be an opportunity for Christian witness to the gospel. If the person who's preparing your taxes is not a Christian, you can show them how you love God and obey God by being honest with your taxes. Or you could do the opposite. You could have a bad testimony if you tell them to go ahead and cheat in certain places. Application point number three. Respect all those in authority, including police and even politicians you disagree with. Point number three. Application point number three. Respect all those in authority, including police and even politicians you disagree with. I'm not saying you can't disagree peacefully, lovingly, but this does call us to have a certain tenor to our politics. We're to respect those who are in authority, even when they're of the opposite political party that we attribute ourselves to, that we choose to place ourselves with. Even if they do things that we disagree with, God has set them over us. He has appointed them as our authority, and we must submit to their authority by respecting them the best that we can as loving Christians, for they are our neighbor. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 2, to close. First of all, then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. While our first loyalty is to God and His righteousness, we must render, as the Scripture commands us to, respect and honor to the authorities that He has placed over us by praying for the working for the common good. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, these commands can be difficult at times, especially difficult when governments increase in corruption and even persecute those who are Christians.